Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Before I head to North Carolina, I wanted to speak a few moments about what's going on our college campuses here. We've all seen the images, and they put to the test two fundamental American principles. Excuse me. The first is the right to free speech and for people to peacefully assemble and make their voices heard. The second is the rule of law. Both must be upheld.
That's right. Those are the principles that are often in tension. How do you have order and freedom? Because those two things are fundamentally at odds with each other. That's the challenge, right? If you give people the freedom to do different things, then you may get outcomes that are not particularly orderly or productive. The more you restrict freedom in order to produce order, well, that's a trade-off. And the more you allow for less order, you allow for more freedom. Now, instructed people, people who have developed character and given the opportunity to practice using freedom so that they can behave better, become virtuous, and then they do the kinds of things freely that produce order. That's the goal of a society. But he's exactly right. These two things are in tension, and, you know, how to preserve both of them.
We are not an authoritarian nation where we silence people or squash dissent. The American people are heard. In fact, peaceful protest is in the best tradition of how Americans respond to consequential issues. But neither are we a lawless country. We are a civil society, and order must prevail.
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly right, and I actually very much appreciated the tone and content of this speech. Particular moments, because I'm 14 inside, made me laugh.
But.
Double but, sir, that's right. If Sir Mix-a-Lot were president, that'd be a double but, sir. That's how my brain works, okay?
So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. If you take over public space and make it unusable for other people, if you vandalize or defecate or make it so that students cannot get to their classes or impede their movement, you're doing all things that are illegal or that can be illegal, depending on what the local laws say, and certainly can be violations of university policy, and therefore they can be removed or, you know, trespassed or whatever, expelled even potentially.
Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not peaceful protest. It's against the law.
Yeah, you are completely protected in expressing your viewpoint, even obnoxious viewpoints, as long as you do so peacefully without interfering with other people and without vandalizing property or violating rules that are in well within the, you know, police powers of an organization, a county, a city, a state, for example, to set a time limit on the use of a park at sundown in order to prevent crime. I mean, there's all kinds of things to have a no camping ordinance that might be relevant. And yeah, that's exactly right. But if you start intimidating people, if you start just defacing property, if you start interfering with the operation of, for example, a school, or intimidating students from being able to attend their classes, yeah, no good. You're gonna get in trouble over that, and using the police to do so is certainly a last resort, but it's an appropriate resort. And I, even though he was late to give this speech, even though he probably should have given this speech several days ago, giving it is still better than not giving it at all.
Dissent is essential to democracy. But dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education.
Yeah, dissent and protest that inclines toward chaos and anarchy or violence is not useful dissent. That's not the kind that we're trying to protect. We're trying to protect the peaceful disagreement. We're trying to make space in order to prevent violence and chaos and settling our differences through illegal means by protecting legal means of disagreement. In fact, there needs to be a pretty wide tolerance of obnoxious viewpoints, disgusting, evil viewpoints, because you want to protect good and noble viewpoints. And also because in recent years we have had a habit of starting to redefine many viewpoints that have been held by humans for, you know, thousands of years as being obnoxious, evil, and wicked, and not all of us agree with that redefinition. But the way you protect, for example, your right to say something is by protecting other people's right to say something, even disgusting things, even obnoxious things. As long as they are saying it in a peaceful way, as long as they are not inciting to violence, you allow them to say it because you want the same protection. And so you have to genuinely tolerate things that you don't want to see, that you would prefer not to have happen, so that you create a zone of freedom within which the good things can be protected too. That's how this deal works. That's what the First Amendment is all about. But you cannot violate the rights of others. You cannot violate their right to pursue an education or to move freely.
Dissent is essential to democracy.
I think I played that one already. Sorry.
Look, it's basically a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what's right. There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos.
That's exactly it. So it was a good speech. It was the right basics. It was a solid 4-minute set before he said, you know, I need to go and I'm barely going to answer these questions.
Mr. President, have the protests forced you to reconsider any of the policies with regard to the region?
No. Thank
you. Mr. President, do you think the National Guard should intervene?
No.
Mr. President, do you agree with what the students are?
And then he's walking toward the door. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Well, it seems like the president is not taking questions right now.
I'd say that's a fair conclusion to be drawn. I wish he had. I wish he could have been trusted to do so by his advisors, because that's part of the problem, right? Is, you know, it's one thing to go read a speech for 3.5 minutes and sort of barely answer two questions as you're walking away. It's another thing to sit there and engage with the press and answer the questions and give your perspective and, you know, show yourself to be a competent, capable leader who's able to defend policies and articulate himself beyond reading off of a teleprompter or a paper speech. But again, the speech was good. The principles were right. And, you know, you got to figure he's on the right side if he's being called an authoritarian and a fascist by the wrong people. And he is. So, you know, that probably means he was saying what needed to be said. It's amazing to me that people who believe in disagreement, dissent, protest, and I do, that some of them think that interfering with traffic or interfering with the motion of students across a campus or occupying a building, that somehow that's the entitlement. No, you don't get to do that. That stuff's a violation of other people's rights, and you have to always be honoring theirs even as you use your own. 718 here on News Radio Pensacola. Jimmy's got traffic for us. Jimmy?
If you are on Pine Forest Road, there is a vehicle crash with a roadblock, and that is backing up traffic going north and southbound on Pine Forest Road in between 9 Mile and the I-10 intersection. And North Palafox Street and Tahar, another vehicle crash with road blockage, so use some caution in there. Expect some delays. Otherwise, looking pretty good here in Pensacola. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For more information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knocks them out. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, or maybe you're, you know, looking into buying a new build, you might think, why do I need a realtor to buy from the builder? Well, Christina Leavenworth can get you a deal even for having them buy down the points. There's things that she can do, and they're glad to have somebody facilitating the process, and that's something she's talked about before, that even with a new build, she can help you. But also, obviously, if you're selling or buying an existing home, listen, 175 times last year they helped people sell homes. 175. That's just the selling. That's not even including the buying side. That's amazing. 3.5 a week. So do they know what they're doing? Do they know what's going on in the market? Can they get you the best price for selling your home? All yes. All that thing. All of those things, yes. And then, you know, help you ask better questions about, is this the right time? What's going on with the market in my price range and this geography? And, you know, is this the right time of year? I mean, all of that stuff. You know, I wish I could go back in time and sell and buy, obviously, our first home with Christina, or somebody like her, because that would have been just so much better. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson. Do you ever feel powerless? Powerless to change your circumstances? So did the man at the Pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5. This man had an infirmity that rendered him powerless for 38 years. Do you know what changed everything for this man? It was the day he met Jesus. The powerless man met the powerful Son of God. Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately this man picked up his bed and walked for the first time in 38 years. I don't know what it is that's making you feel powerless, whether it's financial, physical, or relational, but I do know that the all-powerful God can meet your need if you'll put your faith in Him.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Trying to get a hold of Dave Greenwood and haven't been able to do so just yet, but I think he might be calling in right now. So assuming that that is him, we will get you your beach report here in just a second. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Is that him on the line? Oh, outstanding. Okay, just... All right, sorry about that, folks. Live radio every once in a while. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you. And I do want to remind everybody, this beach report is brought to you by All Season Service Network. We guarantee to always provide the best service in the area. What are we looking at this weekend for beach conditions, Dave?
Well, it's going to be a little bumpy. We'll have yellow flags as we go into the day. We were last weekend, Saturday through Tuesday.
Your phone is completely sketching out on me. Can you say that one more time?
Saturday through Tuesday,
we had
red flags.
Hey, Dave, I hate to do this, but we can't hear you. I'm so sorry. If you maybe try calling us back real fast, we might be able to do it better. But I just people cannot hear that. Plus, we've also had FM signal issues this morning, so haven't been able to. You want to give it one more try, real quick? Okay, we'll try back in just a second. We'll get him back on the line here momentarily. Before that, let's get David Wayne here from the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Absolutely. Well, all eyes going to be on that monthly jobs report when the opening bell rings on Wall Street later this morning. Most analysts are expecting to learn that the economy added about 240,000 jobs last month. That would be down a bit from the previous month. The second week of testimony in former President Trump's criminal hush money trial in New York wrapping up today. More testimony from former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen will be heard. Cohen allegedly was directed by Trump to pay off adult film star Stormy Daniels. And President Biden awarding 19 people the Presidential Medal of Freedom today. That's the nation's highest civilian honor. Some of the recipients include former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, former Vice President Al Gore, and former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg, as well as a number of actors and athletes, Andrew.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Let's try one more time. I think we got Dave on the line with a little bit better signal this time. Dave Greenwood, are you there, sir?
I sure am.
Are you there? Perfect. Outstanding. What are we looking at this weekend for beach conditions?
It's going to be a little bumpy. We're going to start off with the yellow flags and, with scattered storms around. But tell you what, last weekend we were really busy because it was beautiful outside and we posted red flags because the surf had really picked up and we had strong surf Saturday through Tuesday. Lifeguards did about 17,000 preventative actions. We had 5 water rescues. Nobody was transported. We're happy about that.
That's good.
The public has to understand that when we post red flags, we're just as unhappy as they are because we're the ones doing the preventative actions. When can we go in the water? When can we go in the water? They don't ask, when is it safe to go in the water? They want to know, when can they go in the water?
Oh, that's a funny perspective. They don't say, sir, when will it be safe for you to let me go in the water again? You know, you don't get a lot of that attitude.
Is it going to be yellow anytime today? And I was like, I sure hope so, but I don't control the Gulf of Mexico. So
we also don't love fishing you out of the water, right?
And, it was red flags all up and down this area of the Gulf Coast. And, the lifeguards over in South Walton, lifeguards in Panama City Beach, they're having the same issues that we have, telling people they can't go in the water. And they get just as worn down as the public does trying to go in the water.
I bet. And 17,000
prevents. So it's not something we look forward to.
Yeah, that's a lot. Well, Dave, thank you so much for keeping our lifeguards motivated to keep doing their job, to keep people safe. We appreciate that because the alternatives are really, really bad, as we know from history. Dave Greenwood is Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Dave, as always, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Andrew. Have a great weekend.
All right. 727 here on News Radio 92.3.
Picture this. It's a hot, humid summer day and your AC stops working. What do? You call All Seasons Service Network. All Seasons has been locally owned and operated since 1967, offering 24/7 emergency services with multiple technicians ready at all times for your future HVAC needs. From residential to commercial, All Seasons provides installations, new construction builds, and any other kind of HVAC needs. Visit allseasonsnow.com to schedule an appointment or call 850-434-0384. Call today.
We got Jimmy has got our traffic report for us. Jimmy?
If you're on Pine Forest Road, there was an accident earlier that was backing up traffic going north and southbound in between the I-10 intersection and 9 Mile and on North Palafox Street and the intersection with Tahar Drive. Another vehicle crash causing a roadblock, so use caution, expect delays through there. Otherwise, looking good on our roadways this morning. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Oh, I got a really interesting text here. Somebody says, we were talking about this whole concurrency and impact fees and all of that. But I don't know, 45 minutes ago and the county commission yesterday. I'm going to talk about this again coming up in about 10 minutes because it's important. It's a very important subject. But this person says, I worked for the county for a bunch of years, and I know exactly how all that stuff works about election year changes of heart and how that doesn't really last. And says, I want to know, we the citizens really appreciate you bringing these topics to light, honestly, especially as citizens who have lived here for a while and see our quality of life declining over time. It's almost like gentrification of the locals by all the new folks moving here and all the complications that come with it. We are a coastal community. Many of us live on peninsulas where traffic and development just can't expand only so much. Thanks again for these discussions. I thought that was a very interesting note, the gentrification comparison. You know, the idea is that if you have an older part of town where people have relatively low property values, but new people move in with new builds and they raise the average, and so they raise the quality of life, which means you raise the prices, then people can't afford their property taxes anymore, basically, or their rents because the landlord views that as they can get more money for it. there's a kind of weird gentrification, and it harms the locals. That's the idea. It makes quality of life for them worse because it costs too much. It's almost like that comparison for traffic or for stormwater or for schools is a kind of gentrification of the long existing residents because of what happens with locals. I'd never quite thought about it that way. I just thought that was an interesting analogy, and I'd never heard anybody say it quite that way before. So wanted to mention that as a concept for you. We'll be talking more about this coming up in just a minute because it is such an important topic, this issue of, you know, mobility fees, impact fees, concurrency, and what got proposed at the Escambia County Commission meeting yesterday, which a lot happened at this meeting, including some stuff that didn't happen on TV. That's interesting. We'll tell you about that maybe today. Maybe on Monday we'll have more for you on that. In any case, local news right now after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Anti-Israel demonstrators earlier at New York University, but the school calls up the NYPD to dismantle the encampment on campus. The cops wearing helmets carrying batons swooping in.
Very quickly through this encampment, the people were rising, getting out of their tents, and in less than a half an hour, they have basically moved all of the people back. So the tents, of course, left behind, all of the rubbish and the signs. Well, the people that had been in these tents that were roused when the officers arrived have essentially been moved out.
Fox's Molly Lund in NYU. The encampment is gone. At the new school, which is close to NYU, the school also called in the cops to break up that protest. The NYPD reports 56 arrests, no incidents in the two operations. 99% of the students were involved today who were arrested. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne, 73 degrees and partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. The mayor in Century says there's no issue with the town's water quality.
I stated that months ago, and I'll stand by it because we have actual evidence that the water is safe. We're doing everything that we need to do to make sure that the public is safe.
That is Century Mayor Luis Gomez Jr., who talked with Channel 3. Now, this comes after the Florida Department of Environmental Protection notified the town that their water had not been tested for over 30 contaminants in over a year. That report went on to say that they couldn't be sure of the quality of the drinking water during that time. Gomez says there were issues with sampling and record keeping, but he says the water has never been contaminated. A Pensacola man now arrested on a warrant for allegedly causing a fatal crash last fall.
The Florida Highway Patrol says Joanne Michael Floyd is charged with one count of vehicular homicide. Investigators say on October 7th of last year, Floyd was driving a Dodge Charger on I-110 and was going between 131 and 146 miles per hour when he lost control, causing it to flip several times. A passenger sitting in the back seat was killed while another passenger suffered serious injuries. FHP says Floyd turned himself in on Wednesday.
That is News Radio's Joe Ford reporting. The Escambia County Commissioners have approved $10 million to go towards upgrades at the Pensacola Bay Center.
The actual things that people can see, touch, and feel. And
100%.
They'll see an improvement. Graduations, hockey games, concerts, Sunbelt, we'll see a difference.
Right away, and that's what we did with this $10 million, was strategic to lights, sound, parking lot. The chain link fence that's rusted, it's addressing eyesores that are on the outside of the building and on the inside.
That interaction between Commissioner Lumen May and Bay Center Manager, General Manager Michael Capps, the $10 million coming from the tourist development tax dollars that'll be paid out over the next 4 years. Capps says there's a multi-phased plan to upgrade the arena. This comes as the Sunbelt Conference athletic directors are scheduled to meet in the next couple of weeks to discuss renewing their agreement with the Bay Center for the men's and women's basketball tournaments. About a dozen people now facing charges after a pro-Palestine protest in Jacksonville. Those arrests were made late last night at the University of North Florida after the protesters violated a curfew. First Coast News reports between 10 and 15 people were arrested by campus police and the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. No violence was reported at the protest. And base officials at NAS Pensacola say areas typically accessible to the public are going to be closed just for a few days next week. The installation will be closed to the public from Tuesday, May 7th through Thursday, May 9th. That includes the National Naval Aviation Museum, the Lighthouse, Fort Barrancas, and the viewing for the Blue Angels practice flights. The base's West Gate for those days will only be open to DOD cardholders. Now, the West Gate will reopen to the public on Friday, May 10th. No reason was given for that change. It is 7:35 here, News Radio Pensacola, and Jimmy's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
If you are on Pine Forest Road and Sharon Lane in Pensacola, there was a vehicle crash that is causing a roadblock going north and south on Pine Forest Road in between 9 Mile and the intersection of I-10. Another vehicle crash on North Palafox Street and East Tahar Drive, still backing up some traffic. Road blockage there earlier, unclear as to whether that has been taken care of yet. And if you are in Milton on Berry Hill Road, the westbound lanes are blocked. Emergency vehicles on the scene due to a vehicle crash earlier this morning. Other than that, looking pretty good. Just some typical morning traffic buildup on the intersections of Mobile Highway and Blue Angel Parkway and Fairfield and Pace. And looking like some heavier traffic on Davis right outside the hospital, but clearing up as you go southbound into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line at 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with partly cloudy skies, high near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. On Saturday, high near 84 with partly cloudy skies. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68. We're going to round out the weekend with some beautiful weather, mostly sunny skies, high near 84. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it is looking like a beautiful morning. We've got partly cloudy skies, 75 in Pensacola, 71 reported in Gulf Breeze and in Milton. Our next news at 8, we have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Cole Murray with Your Money Now. The Internal Revenue Service has announced it will more than double the audit rate for the wealthiest taxpayers to crack down on tax cheats and deliver more revenue to the U.S. Treasury. IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel said the pivot applies to those with a total positive income worth more than $10 million by the 2026 tax year. It also plans to nearly triple audit rates on large corporations with assets worth over $250 million. 7-Eleven and Tetris have teamed up for a collaboration in honor of the game's 40th anniversary next year, and it is about to beat everyone's high score. The joint effort features apparel, accessories, and a $30 Slurpee-shaped handheld gaming device to play the 1985 classic. We are still waiting for an official release date. Futures are moderately higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 322, the NASDAQ up 235. That's Your Money Now.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
There are over 15,445 radio stations in America. But out of all those stations, a panel of judges representing the broadcast industry, community service organizations, and public relations firms chose the top 10, including News Radio Pensacola, to receive the 2024 National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for exceptional year-round community service. Thanks to you, our listeners. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're a growing community. I'm not anti-growth. I'm actually pro-growth, but it has to be done intelligently. Right now, we're the only large county in the state that does not have both the local option sales tax and some form of transportation mobility fees, concurrency, or impact fees. We need to do something. The people want it. We deserve it. Developers don't like it because it costs them money. It makes them think. It makes them think about the impact that they're having. But I think this board needs to take some action in that direction.
This is Commissioner Jeff Burgosh. Yesterday during the agenda review where they had their big discussion about concurrency, impact fees, mobility fees, and even a willingness to have this conversation or not. He has advocated for it at various times in history, and he has been more vehement about advocating for it recently, to which I have said, great, bring it as an agenda item. Actually have either a committee of the whole or, you know, if you have to have it in a regular discussion meeting, that's fine, but then do it. Let's vote on it. Let's see where the chips fall. We are in an election year, and as I have said, it's a very convenient thing to start talking about this right before the election. He gets very upset about that allegation and says he's tried it many different times in the past, both after and before elections, and, I mean, that's fine. But, you know, we now have an opportunity to do it again when we have a lot of growth where there isn't the appropriate infrastructure until well afterwards. This is why you have failing bridges like the Divine Farms Bridge, or why you have Pine Forest backups or Palafox, or what you used to have on 9 Mile. Remember what it was like before the road reconstruction? Remember what was that like? You know, so you see this all over the place, and the problem is basically that the county has been, you know, I'll say it in the most neutral way you can say it. There has been a massive growth in population and therefore a massive growth in the number of houses built or apartments built or townhomes built, and there has not been an appropriate increase in the capacity of the roads to handle the traffic. Even if you say the county has allowed that to happen, you kind of implied the county could have fixed it. Well, I mean, I tend to think the county could have done a lot of things better at this, and, you know, it's a question of how to do that particularly. But Jeff Burgosh, as we have said, we are on 44 days now of concurrency watch with him. He's going to talk about it in his coffee with the commissioner. I'm going to say bring it as an item. 4 meetings in 44 days. They talked about it yesterday. You got to actually bring it before we go off concurrency watch. So what did – and by the way, this talk about the builders don't like it and all of that. Remember, he has been heavily supported by the building industry here in Escambia County. If you look at his donor list, that's who you see. And that – I don't mind that. Builders are an industry. They're responding to a need. Builders built my home, okay? I have no problem with builders being involved in politics because politics certainly affects their business. I just think that you've got to, you know, pay attention to what people do, and you've got to consider who donates to them when you kind of interpret their words and actions. And the question is he really serious about this reform? And is he talking negative about the builders and how he's willing to do things that the builders don't like? Or is he saying that temporarily because he knows and they know that he needs to say that in order to get reelected, and then after the election, it'll be back to business as usual? Well, you decide. I mean, you can't know until things actually happen, but you make your own inference.
I think we have a problem. Other counties have figured this out, just like they figured out the 5th cent and the 6th cent. We can figure this out. Developers ain't going to like it. Home builders ain't going to like it, but they make plenty of money, and this will be passed on as a cost. But it's not like we're doing something or we would be implementing something that's unheard of. That's the discussion I'd like to have, and I'd like to know if I have support.
Which, great. As I said, I would give him credit if he brought the discussion forward. He has. When we actually have a vote, I'll give them more credit. Stephen Barry, who is operating as the chairman, District 5, same problems in District 5.
The pendulum changes. You know, the pendulum swings. And, you know, the pendulum, I think, has swung to the point that we can have that you know, we can have a conversation.
Now, that's not a commitment to do something. Also, again, I think it's a weird conversation point to say the pendulum has swung in order to have the conversation. You could have had the conversation anytime. And what's the other side of the pendulum? I mean, the people, you know, as I read it, people have been complaining about traffic for as long as I've lived here. So they've been wanting the county to do something for 10 years. That's as long as I've lived here. Stephen Barry has been on the board for 12 years. Lumen May has been on the board for 12 years. And Jeff Burgosh has been on the board for 8 years, all seeking re-election this year. You know, what does that mean? The pendulum has swung that we can now have this conversation. Like, who's allowing or not allowing? I don't know. Again, you have to kind of read between the lines here to figure out what they're saying. But he says, look, I'm willing to have this conversation. Some people think that you're going to make builders pay, and you're not really going to make builders pay. You're going to make builders charge a fee or raise the cost of the house, and then the buyers are going to pay. And so you're really going to transfer the money, you know, the cost of this onto the buyers, which, by the way, means higher prices for the new builds, which he's right about that. This will raise the price of the house.
You know, if you're in the market for, you know, for buying a home or buying a first home, the less product on the ground, that only has one impact on the price of that product. So those are things that aren't as good of talking points. They're not as popular on social media, but they're both, in my opinion, extremely true.
Or projects don't happen, or they do happen, but it costs more. All of which I think he's right about that. Those are important things to consider. Sometimes the people who are yelling the loudest, for example, for impact fees are the same people who are complaining about the high price of housing. And pick one. You know, you can't say put a $5,000 surcharge on a new house and keep the price of houses down. You know, and the more you restrict or make it challenging to build new homes, the more you restrict capacity, the more that market conditions, supply and demand, dictate that the price is going to go up. He's right about that. Lumen May, for his part, says, yeah, you know, I think that I'm willing to have this conversation, and I'm a builder, and I pass costs on to the consumer.
I'm a builder. No matter what the permit fee is, no matter what the cost of construction, the cost of goods, I have to pass that on.
Absolutely.
To people. And so, you know, we have people who are working on these houses that can't afford to live in those houses. So I just would ask that you kind of, you know,
be part of the discussion.
Yeah. So there was a lot of part of the discussion talk from Lumen May involving all these different people. When I listened to that, you know, let's have community input. Let's have labor input. Let's have the CRA's input. Because the initial proposal was get Chris Phillips from traffic and Joy Blackman from engineering together, have them look at what the other counties are doing and bring forward a spreadsheet, and we can have a conversation. And I definitely felt like Lumen May was saying, whoa, 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 not so fast. Can we slow this down just a little bit? Well, why would you want to slow it down? Well, maybe you want to slow it down to get it right. That's a possibility. Maybe you want to slow it down to stop it. Also a possibility. You know, the bureaucratic death by committee of 1,000 paper cuts, right? You can't get everybody on board, so it just kind of goes away or goes longer, and then it's after the election, and then somehow it manages to not happen again. I don't know which one's going to happen. You're a voter. You have to decide what you believe is going on, and I can't tell you. I'm just giving you some of the options. So, again, I think it's a little odd that people who have historically been supported by the building community, again, no problem with that. Just keep in mind, for 8 or 12 years, are now suddenly in an election year. We're a couple of months out from the primary, are like, whoa, we got to do something. Where were you 4 years ago, 8 years ago? You know, why did? And by the way, the where to do something isn't necessarily in the spots where there's obvious problems. I mean, yes, in those areas, but where we already have problems, it's a little bit like that's too late. That's a fail. It's in places like in the North End and Cantonment where things haven't been fully developed, but they are emerging problems, or far west in West Beulah. Like, it's where it could become a problem if we don't get it under control before that. That's where you really got to start thinking about this. More on this in just a second, including some of our alternatives. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are on Pine Forest Road and Sharon Lane in Pensacola, there was a vehicle crash that's causing a roadblock going north and southbound on Pine Forest Road in between 9 Mile and the I-10 intersection. And on North Palo Fox Street and Tahar Drive, there was a vehicle crash earlier that seems to be clearing up. So I think you should be good to go in there. Looking like some heavier traffic on Davis outside of the hospital going all the way south to the I-10 intersection. Some heavy traffic buildup on Pensacola Boulevard in between I-10 and Detroit Boulevard. And at the intersection of Palo Fox and Brent Lane, traffic is building up in there, so expect some delays in those areas. If you see anything else, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So this is a very complicated subject. There's a lot of sort of knee-jerk oversimplification. I've been, you know, hearing a lot of these conversations, watching the Santa Rosa County Commission meetings for all of these years. For example, impact fees. Here's the idea of an impact fee. You put a $5,000 sticker tax on top of a new house, and you put a $3,000 sticker tax on top of a townhome, or, you know, $2,000 on a mobile home, or, you know, there's all different ways to do it. You could do it by square footage. I don't like impact fees partially because I don't think it's enough funding. I don't think that it usually really solves the problem. And frankly, impact fees generally strike me as being unfair. The issue is, and especially if they're targeted to like the square footage of the house, or they make a distinction between the more expensive and the cheap, you know, the mobile home versus the townhome versus it's the number of cars, not the size of the house. It's the number of people, not the square footage or the price tag. That's just another way of punishing the rich people for something that everybody's contributing to. So I don't particularly favor them. Another idea is concurrency. And that's, generally speaking, the idea that you would have to have in place capacity to handle the new traffic as you are designing the subdivision and building it so that by the time the people are there, the roads are big enough to handle the new people. That makes perfect sense to me. And I think that, like, frankly, we have enough knowledge among our traffic engineer folks that we can look at this road handles this many cars and this section of road handles this many cars. And we know how the cars flow and we can see that here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem. Oh, you want to put 300 new homes in here? That's going to be a problem for here, here, and here. And in concurrency in its ideal form would make sure that those roads are up to the new demand by the time the new demand exists so that existing residents don't have to pay the price of inconvenience and suffer from the traffic delays, okay? That would be the ideal. The question is, how do you fund that, right? That's the challenge. And that's where, because impact fees, one of the problems is it only has to do with, like, inadequate capacity, as in when you've exceeded capacity on a new build. It doesn't deal with the additional stress to existing capacity that happens when you put homes in, but you already have the ability to handle the traffic. And that's where something like a mobility fees concept comes in mind, where you're really, the way I understand it, I was just doing a bunch of research on this yesterday, but the way I understand mobility fees is you kind of say, look, it costs this many millions of dollars to build and maintain these roads. And so you divide by the number of people that are using that road. And so this is what it costs per person to make that road work properly. And so if we're going to have a new build, we say, well, those people should have to be paying that share of the cost of providing transportation to their house. That's sort of the idea of mobility fees. And what's interesting about mobility fees, in my mind, is it starts to seem to really make possible a conversation about how should roads be funded? Should the people who use roads more pay more? Should people pay per car? Should they be paying per mile? Should they be paying a gas tax instead of, for example, an ad valorem tax on your house that then kind of through a variety of procedures get shuffled around into making the roads better? Because my way of thinking, I tend to lean libertarian on a lot of these issues, and I tend to think, well, okay, if people are biking or walking, then they really shouldn't be having to pay so much for roads. But if, unless you're making bike lanes and sidewalks, in which case they should be. But if people are driving their cars, then you should be having to pay for roads. And so if people live close in, for example, to the town center, if there is one like downtown Pensacola, it almost seems like they shouldn't be paying as much for their road service as somebody who lives at a distance. But trying to manage that and trying to come up with, well, you live in Beulah, your mobility fee is $2,000 a year, but we're going to cut your house taxes. Whereas if you live in, you know, Balin downtown, your mobility fee is going to be $83 a year. Again, I'm not saying we're going to do that, and I don't think anybody's really entertaining that kind of a thing, but I got to thinking about this yesterday, and I got to thinking about what would really be a fair way to assess these prices. And there's a lot of conversation you can have in this realm, and as a guy who cares a lot about tax policy and funding sources, I just wanted to kind of open your brain with some of those alternatives. I don't know what we're going to do either, but my main takeaway is I want to see him do something. And I want to see him do something before the primary election, because once you have primaries, it doesn't matter anymore. Because everybody who wins their primary wins the general election. That's how it works in Escambia County because of the demographics and the number of voters in the Democrat or Republican Party. So that's key. One other thing that I do want to mention. Actually, I think we'll take a quick break. I'll mention it when we come back from the break. But very odd comment made yesterday by Commissioner Lumen May. Kind of out of the blue. And we'll talk about that in just a second. I'm Andrew McKay.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us today as we detail what's going on in your city parks and resource centers.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA.
When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro Advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Pensacola's own blues and soul singer Jordan Chase takes the stage. Jordan was featured on The Voice and American Idol. He's currently working on his first album with a Grammy Award-winning team from Nashville. See Jordan Chase at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Verus Health Partners, Monday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions Monday at 9 with Verus Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I like to.
Good morning, 7:56 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. Jimmy has got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
That crash we mentioned earlier on Pine Forest Road and Sharon Lane still causing a lot of traffic buildup. Vehicle crash causing a roadway block in between 9 Mile and I-10 on Pine Forest Road. Other than that, just seeing some typical morning traffic building up, particularly on the intersection of Cervantes and Perry, right when Scenic turns into Cervantes Street. And on Palafox and Brent, so you can expect some delays in there. Looking like slowdown as well on the intersections of Palafox and Tahar. So if you see anything else on the roadway, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, a major bridge in Connecticut will be down for the weekend because of a fiery crash that happened yesterday. Authorities say there was a big multi-vehicle accident involving a fuel tanker that was carrying 8,500 gallons of gas. This was on I-95 in Connecticut. Apparently, the vehicles burst into flames and damaged an overpass, so they have to take the whole overpass down before they can reopen the interstate.
Yep, that's how it works.
But
yeah.
They say that could be done as soon as Monday. A forensic analyst for the New York District Attorney's Office will be back on the stand today as former President Trump's trial continues in New York. The forensic analyst testified yesterday about the unusual amount of contacts on Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen's phone. And you might not expect this, but there's a little bit of drama revolving around Britney Spears today.
Never.
Representatives for Britney Spears say that she's safe and at home after paramedics responded to her having a fight with her boyfriend at a hotel in Los Angeles. That happened yesterday at Chateau Marmont. In a social media post, Spears said she twisted her ankle in whatever the incident was. Paramedics apparently showed up at her door, she says, illegally, and said she felt harassed by it.
Mm. Okay. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I mentioned right before the break that I would share a comment made by Lumen May, Commissioner May from District 3, that struck me as very unusual yesterday in the conversation about the Bay Center funding.
Well, and Commissioner Berry, I mean, we can't even, you know, speak in public or we'd be indicted, but...
What?
Yeah, happy Thursday. Yep.
Yeah, of course you will. You have my full support.
Wait, what? So first of all, I feel like the county commissioners have gone extra out of their way recently to repeatedly remind us that they don't ever talk amongst themselves about, which is true. It's a sunshine violation if they do. But it's weird how many times they say it, like methinks she doth protest too much. OK, but he says indicted and Stephen Bear is like, happy Thursday. Was there some indictment handed down yesterday against the county commissioners? I mean, I don't think so. I don't know about it if there is. That's weird. I mean, that's an odd thing to say. Happy Thursday. Oh, look, so I I can't explain it. It seems like an oddly specific reference, so
listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.